and keep listening to your community radio station, WBAI 99.5 FM.
Everyone needs a few laughs. That's why WBAI gets us together once a month at the Gotham Comedy Club, 34 West 22nd Street.
Hey, stop what you're doing.
Our next gathering is Sunday, February 8th at 6 p.m. And some of the comedic rabble-rousers will include Julie Halston, Randy Credico, and Steve Kimbrough. It's all to benefit WBAI and your funny bone. For reservations, call us at 575-0263. It's $20 a person, and it supports listener-sponsored WBAI. After you've read the Sunday papers, you'll need a laugh. Then phone us at area code 212-575-0263. If you take it that way, my
hands are about to blow you. And it's just about 8 o'clock. We're listening to radio station WUSB. Not WUSB. What station is this? I said the wrong station. I can't believe I did this. WBAI. You know why I said the wrong station? It's because it's been so long since I've been here. Might as well be on who knows what station. But this is WBAI in New York. Okay, what's the name of the program now? let's just play this music and hopefully it'll come back to me. Oh, the machine's not working. Okay, now I know where I am. Now I know I'm in BAI when the machines don't work. Hang on, I've got to move things around. Ah, yes. It's off the hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. Couldn't get my break, but if she could, they would. Oh, did we bounce with a face-to-face word? I hope that's understood, but did we bounce?
Thank you.
Yes, you're listening to Off the Hook. And I've remembered who I am, too. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. And we're here for the next hour, talking about high technology and computer hackers, privacy developments, and hooking up to the Internet throughout the world. We have listeners from all over the globe tuning in over Real Audio. And we have that small section of people in New York City who listen over the radio. That's right. 99.5 FM in New York City. In case you're listening on Real Audio and you don't realize that there's a 50,000-watt radio station broadcasting this, please get off the net and give someone else a chance to get in. Actually, I don't think we are in danger of running out of space at this point in time on the net, so I guess we don't have to worry about that right now. We're going to take some phone calls. It's been a long time since we've been on the air. You know, the entire Clinton thing happened, it came and went, and, you know, there's not even anything to say about it anymore. I wish I had been around, because, you know, I could have predicted all these things that were going to happen. Like, for instance, what I said a couple of weeks ago in the midst of all this was that inside of a week to 10 days, either Clinton will be gone or there'll be some new crisis to deal with, such as, say, Iraq. Well, gee, that's kind of interesting how things move around. Our telephone number is 212-279-3400. At least I got the number right. At least I remember what the phone number was. I can't believe I don't remember what the station is, but I remember the phone number. All right, here's some listener mail that we've gotten quite a bit of over the last... There's no way we can get through all of this, because we haven't been on in a month, and there's just too much of it. So we'll try to race through the various news items and mail that we've gotten. Here's something interesting out of Japan. The Computer Entertainment Software Association, together with other software associations, will engage in a campaign to eliminate the used software market. The campaign will be held from January to June of this year. So you already missed a month of it. During this period, the association will be engaging in various kinds of activities using the media to appeal the illegality of used software sales to the general public. Also, during the Tokyo Game Show 98, a symposium regarding digital content distribution rights will be held, inviting key figures from the gaming industry and academic world. The association claims that sales of used game software does not return any profits to the software developers, which means the developers cannot collect funds that could be used for developing new games. So basically the message here is, if you keep selling used software, there'll be no more games. No more games for you if you sell used software. That is the message coming out of Japan. And, you know, it's just, it's funny. It really is funny. I mean, we're not even talking about pirated software. You know what this has gotten to now? Used software. Yeah, you can buy a computer and you can sell your computer, but you cannot sell the software on it because they have to go out and buy that all over again. You know, it's like, imagine if you couldn't sell your computer. You know, they want us to treat software the same way that we treat hardware, but they want to make more money off software because they want to not be able to sell that twice. It's pure greed, and this proves it more than anything. Illegal used software. Oh, boy. You know, that's why I never buy software anymore, because, you know, you go into CompUSA, and they have these signs up saying that, you know, you cannot buy software and return it unless you want the same software. You know, what's the point of returning it, then? Have you ever used something that doesn't quite work right, that's not for you, that just isn't exactly what you thought it was? Well, if you ever make that mistake with software, you're out of luck. Anything else that had that kind of guarantee on it would not sell very much. So it's kind of a crazy, ridiculous way of doing things. All right, so let's continue with various other news items. MCI, here's a reader, a bit of mail. I received an interesting call today around 4:30 p.m. Someone called and claimed to be from MCI. went on to say that my phone account's long distance was being billed by two companies. After some questions I asked, he said my account was under the name of a business I had run from this phone number. I was surprised because the real account is not listed under a business name. It's under a personal name. I explained to him that I was not responsible for the line. My parents are the ones who are billed. And he read off our main line's number and said that that phone account also had the same problem. Afterwards, I *69'd him without luck. Then I called AT&T, my real long-distance carrier. U.S. West is the local carrier. They all had the correct billing info. Never heard of the business name that the earlier so-called MCI rep had told me and said that there was no way to have two long-distance companies at one time. My only guesses are that MCI is trying to get me to switch or someone was trying to social engineer me. What do you think? Have you heard of this before? Well, now, we've never heard of this one before, but it's possible somebody was social engineering you. What's more likely is that MCI just had a little trouble with their database and forgot to delete certain people and maybe crossed some names, crossed some numbers, and they basically screwed up and were trying to get you to help them fix their system by just signing up with them so they could just claim all these customers and be done with it. So you did the right thing. Too bad you couldn't *69 and find out who they really were. But it's nothing to really worry about all that much. Okay, we got other letters from people. This person wants to make a $100 pledge to BAI. Well, you know, I'm sorry. They're in Minneapolis, but we weren't on during the pledge drive, so you can't make a pledge now anyway. You can only make a pledge during the pledge drive. And since we weren't on during the pledge drive, you can't make a pledge during our show. It's a hard concept to grasp, I know, but unfortunately that's just the way it is. We had people from Denmark. Danish hacker wanted to make a pledge. And this person in Colorado, swarms others. Maybe next time. Just so much mail here. Okay, all right, here's a good one. This person actually got kicked out of his school for writing an article on hacking. It's pretty amazing. And if the page hadn't separated, I think I would be able to read more about this. Okay, it is here somewhere, and we will find it. While we're looking for that, how about some other... Okay, to clear up something which happened just as we were leaving last time, there was a rumor going around that that the FCC was going to impose some additional fees on Internet service providers and charge per-minute access to the Internet. And again, we said last time that that was not the case. And of course, all the rumors started after we went off the air saying that that it was the case and there was no way to, disprove it while we weren't here. In fact, this time there was even an email address to mail to the FCC. However, if you went to the FCC webpage, you would see that that they themselves wanted people to stop doing this. And they put up a little notice saying that it was, in fact, a fake thing, a fake notice. So there is no such threat at this point in time. There may be sometime in the future, but there is not now. So just forget about that. Okay, we found the article here. The end of senior year for most high school students is a time for college decisions, vacation planning, and beer-tinged teenage revelry. Reading this from the Netley News. Not so for Justin Boucher, however you pronounce it. He's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he will be expelled from Greenfield High School because of an article he wrote entitled, So You Want to Be a Hacker. Published under a pseudonym in an unofficial student newspaper. Unofficial student newspaper. There you go. That's the real problem. It wasn't an official... I mean, it's like the Soviet Union here, where some of these schools are being run. He wrote this thing in an unofficial high school newspaper described in colorful and sometimes profane language. Whoa, how enterprising snoops could break into the high school's computer network. The advice ranged from the glaringly obvious, some commonly used passwords at very stupid schools are ... to the hacker code of ethics, never harm, alter, or damage any computers. The finer points of hacker morality and teenage tomfoolery, however, were lost on irate school officials who expelled Boucher, whatever, for 1 year. And if you want to see the article, actually, I'd like someone to do this right now. because we don't have net access right here in the studio. Go to http://cgi.pathfinder.com/netly/editorial/019821.html. I'm not going to repeat that because it just sounds silly. And if you're really into it, you got it the first time and you're checking it, you'll call us and tell us if the article is really worth getting expelled over. Then there was the case of Timothy R. McVeigh, yes, the one that did not bomb buildings, the one that was in the Navy and was alleged to be gay. Interesting, huh? The America Online supposedly gave out this information to an undercover Navy investigator who apparently never heard of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He wanted them to tell, and he was asking, and they told him. They told him everything there was to know about this person, that he was, in fact, connected to a webpage that had the word gay in it, so they kicked him out of the Navy. But according to a judge in a 13-page order, McVeigh can now stay in the Navy. Judge Stanley Sporkin said the government had no business kicking him out because of his profile in America Online, which listed his marital status as gay. When the Navy affirmatively took steps to confirm the identity of the email respondent, it violated the very essence of Don't Ask, Don't Pursue by launching a search and destroy mission, he wrote. Sporkin's preliminary injunction bars the Navy from discharging McVeigh, at least until the trial concludes. However, this lawsuit is only against the Navy, not against AOL. I'm sure he has quite a case against AOL if he decides to take one. Words on ADSL. ADSL is coming to the area, although it may not be coming as soon as we want it to. Bell Atlantic has said it's joining the nation's other baby bells and several computer industry giants to make low-cost, super high-speed internet connections available over home phone lines by year's end. A widespread introduction of digital subscriber lines, or DSL, that's what they like to call it, DSL, would pose a major challenge to cable companies planning to offer internet access via powerful cable modems at about the same cost, $40 to $60 per month. And DSL offers the promise of full-time internet connections with simultaneous voice telephone service over the same phone line, which is impossible with standard computer modems. However, it is possible with ISDN, if you want to consider that standard. Customers like it very well. Does that sound right? According to Bell Atlantic spokesman Lawrence Plum, I don't think that sounds right. Customers like it very well. Very much. Lawrence Plum, well, I don't know. I think you could use some language instruction there. Customers like it very well. Well, hopefully the service provides is provided a little better than the language skills. He said the company has been testing the service in 300 homes in Northern Virginia since September 1996. And until quite recently, like the end of January, Bell Atlantic had been riding the fence on the decision to join four other regional phone companies and GTE in a consortium with Compaq Computer Corp, Intel, and Microsoft that plans to announce standards for DSL during the ComNet trade show, which I believe already took place. Bell Atlantic issued a statement saying it agreed with the consortium objectives and was finalizing plans to join before the announcement. Using new digital and data compression technologies, DSL could deliver services such as spam, the World Wide Web, I added that, email, teleconferencing, music and videos 30 to 50 times faster than existing telephone modems, comparable to the speeds of cable modems and the commercial internet connections called T1 lines that cost hundreds of dollars per month. While the modems should hit store shelves with price tags of around $200 by the end of the year, analysts said it could take considerably longer for the phone companies to equip their central offices with the technology needed to make the speedy connections. Representatives of Compaq, Intel, and Microsoft declined to give details of their planned announcement, but analysts and other industry sources said the companies will introduce a set of DSL standards meant to allow computer manufacturers to install the new high-speed DSL modems in desktop and notebook computers as they do today's slower modems. So it's coming. Whether it'll be here by the end of the year or by summer is something we just don't know yet. It's definitely coming, though. Definitely going to happen. This reader writes in about cable modems. I was listening to a December 30th show on Real Audio and heard about the person in Maine with the cable modem from Time Warner. I also have cable modem service from Time Warner in Tampa, Florida, and I have a few comments about his message. Specifically, the speed of the service is 500K a second, half a meg per second, inside the system, but when connected to outside sites, I've gone throughput approximately 50K a second up to 200K a second. That, for $40, is amazing. The software is very clunky. If you want to take a look at it, this person will be happy to send it to us, although I'm sure the Japanese software people will be angry about that. But you do not have to use the software to connect. I noticed this when I was logged in and my computer crashed. I rebooted the machine, and some of the software I load on startup connected before I had a chance to run the login software. I have then since shut down many times in crashes, and no, I have never had to run that software again. Cable modems are really coming around. Time Warner is trying to expand their service across as much of the country as possible as they upgrade their systems with more fiber optics and less coaxial cable. The bandwidth is supposed to be pushed up to 27 megabits per second. It's now limited to 10 because of the modem PC connection. Anyway, yes, things are getting faster, speedier, more complex. Well, none of this is happening in my area, that's for sure. My cable company will not give me a cable modem anytime soon. They made that very clear. Although, for the first time ever, my OmniPoint phone rang in my house. And for most people, I guess that might not seem all that amazing, but I kind of like live in Guam, you know, and it's hard to get reception of certain things. And, well, it rang yesterday. It scared me. Scared me speechless. But I was able to talk. I was able to pick up the phone and say, yes, who is this? It's the wrong number. My first call is the wrong number, and I had to pay for that. So, yeah, I'm real happy. And finally, and I guess we'll take some phone calls now. 212-279-3400 if people around the world want to call in. Country code 1 for those of you outside the United States. There are now 5-cent-a-minute phone calls, day and night. Talk is cheap in New York and Chicago, according to the New York Times, because those are the two cities where consumers can make long-distance telephone calls to anywhere in the United States for 5 cents a minute using calling cards released yesterday by IDT. That's right. The MCI Communications Corporation and the Sprint Corporation offer a 5-cent rate at some times, like 5 minutes a day or something. IDT's rate, though, is one-third that of the AT&T Corporation's common flat rate plan, and it's valid at all times. IDT is a small company based in Hackensack, New Jersey. They're able to undercut the long-distance giants by sending conversations over the Internet rather than over traditional networks. The catch is that conversations over IDT's system, while quite intelligible, do not match the sound quality of calls over standard networks. So if that doesn't matter that much to you, you can get connection for 5 cents a minute. And I'd like to know, they say they're going to be offering this 5-cent service in Boston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington by the middle of next month, and in 19 more markets by the end of the year. Right now, it's just in New York and Chicago. So if somebody in one of those two places can figure out a way to call us over IDT, they don't give instructions on how to do it there. I'd sort of like to know what it sounds like, what that's all about. Finally, a listener wrote in with real mail. We still get some real mail here. We'll give out the addresses for both real mail and cyber mail in just a couple of seconds. This person sent us a, I guess you'd call this a questionnaire, as far as a certain question that's asked, and people answer. And this is for a college distribution. It's kind of a joke magazine, is the way it's described, or a newspaper. And this came out in November. It's called The Onion. And the question was had to do with the threat of cyber terrorism. With the business world becoming increasingly dependent on the Internet, there is concern that not enough is being done to guard against potentially devastating sabotage by cyber terrorists. What do you think? Well, Frank Moreland, the piano teacher, said, "You mean some hacker could disrupt the computerized billing and record keeping of my local phone company, costing them millions of dollars? That's awesome." Donald Davis, systems analyst, "You don't think one of those cyber terrorists could somehow infiltrate a chat room and pretend to be a sexy girl, do you?" Yeah, sure. Liz Durham, retiree. Looks like she's about 20, though. Oh, I see. She works in a nursing home. That's a retiree? I thought retirees were people that retired. Well, okay, whatever. "As a nursing home resident, I live in constant..." She says she's a resident. She looks like she's 20. Can you live in a nursing home? Look, she looks like she's 20, doesn't she? She doesn't look like she's in her whatever age you need to be in a nursing home. All right. Maybe she's got one of those faces that work on anything. As a nursing home resident, I live in constant fear of the fiber terrorists who forced me to take my Metamucil. You see, it's a joke. And a senior citizen would not make a joke quite like that, I don't think. I think they just needed someone to make that joke, and they used her face. What if these, this is according to Carol Sandberg, flight attendant, what if these terrorists got into the Snickers website? They could potentially alter the peanuts to nougat ratio. Oh, that's just silly. Philip Sutcliffe, an actuary. Actually, I don't know what an actuary does, but I don't really care either. No cyber terrorist shall gain access to my data, and I'm protected by the coolest password ever, Shadowfax. Not no more, you aren't. Ernest Say, speechwriter. Well, cyber terrorists may be difficult to capture in the act, but from what I know about people who are highly skilled with computers, they should be easy to beat up. Well, kiss your credit rating goodbye. All right, that's it for the mail. If you want to send us mail, you can do so. All you have to do is write. If you're capable of physically writing to us, then all you have to do is send something to WBAI, Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. Or, if you're on the Internet and you want to send us something, the address is OTH at 2600.com. And since we get about 1,000 pieces of mail at that address a week and about 3 to the mailbox, I think I know what people are more prone to do. Okay, 212-279-3400. Say goodbye to that. Let's take our first phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi. It's me, Ray from Queens.
Hi, Ray from Queens. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I heard you say something about that DVD, soft DVD software a few months ago. I couldn't find it on the web, though.
Uh-huh.
So how could I find it?
Well, that's something that actually Fiber was interested in. Fiber's not around, so.
Yeah, I'm interested in it, too, because I know I could go to Blockbuster and have a field day.
Uh-huh. What I would do is I would do an AltaVista search for it. Maybe you'll find it that way, but I don't have the exact web
address. Yeah, I went on a major Yahoo, AltaVista.
Uh-huh. Didn't find anything?
CNET, search.com, and all these places.
Yeah?
You know, they have these different subdirectories. You have to go into computing, and even when I went into there,
uh-huh.
They just give me these major listings of these different news magazines or whatever.
Okay, well, the thing is, maybe a caller, maybe another listener who has this information can call in, or maybe somebody in the studio will be able to look it up.
And, yeah, but you have any idea, does it compress it on a regular CD? Is that how it works?
I don't believe so, but then again, I'm not the right person to ask about this. This is definitely a Fiber question, and unfortunately he's not around.
I see. All right, you could just, tell him next week or whatever.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, speak up.
Hello. I wanted to know, I have internet, and I wanted to know if there's a way to get phone calls.
A way to get phone calls? Well, yeah, there's all kinds of programs out there that allow you to get phone calls on your computer. And is that what you're interested in doing?
If that's the only way, I wanted to still get my phone calls while I'm, like, playing with the internet.
Uh-huh. Oh, you want to get phone calls the same time you're on the net?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of connection do you have right now?
I have a 288 modem.
Okay. The way 288s work, you cannot use the line at the same time. You're using a regular phone line. If you're using ISDN, for instance, you would be able to get a phone call on that same line while you were using it for data. But for a regular analog line, you cannot do that. What I would suggest you do is get—is getting a second phone line out of the question?
Well, I was trying to avoid it. I didn't know if you know any other way.
The way I would set it up would be have two lines and have what's known as hunting put on them, where if the first line is busy, it jumps over to the second one.
Yeah.
What state are you in?
What state?
What state?
Oh, I'm in New York.
New York. Okay, in New York, that's free. There's no charge for that. Obviously, there's a charge for the line, but for the hunting service, there's no charge.
It's called hunting?
Yeah, call hunting. You simply want, when your first line is busy, you want it to jump to the second line. And you just get that service. And that way, you know, the first line will ring if you're not using it. And if you are using it, the second line will ring. You know, that's the most effective way of using, you know, voice and data at the same time if you're not going to be using something more advanced like ISDN.
Okay, so I would just have to get two phone lines from the phone company.
That's the best way I can think of.
And that's for hunting.
Yeah.
Because the ISDN is more expensive every month.
Well, it doesn't have to be. You have to get a provider in your area that provides ISDN. You have to make sure you use data over voice, otherwise they'll hit you up for the penny a minute surcharge, which everybody hates, and hopefully they'll do away with at some point. And, you know, other than that, it's just the cost of getting the line installed, which is about $100 or so, and getting an ISDN modem, which is another couple hundred. If you want to do all that, though, it's probably worth it.
Oh, and what is that? Will give me, what, better quality or something?
Gives you faster speed. For instance, instead of being connected at 28.8, you could then connect at 112. So it's quite a bit faster. And at the same time, you could use the phone line for, you know, to make a voice call. If you want to do that as well.
Okay. Do you know anything about shortwave radio?
I know you can't do internet stuff over the shortwave radio. I hope you're not planning to do that.
No.
What about shortwave?
Like if I was going to move away from New York and I wanted to still listen to WBAI.
Well, as far as I know, someone might be doing this on their own, but I don't think we're broadcast over shortwave. We are on the net, though, so all you need to do...
Okay.
Have you ever used Real Audio?
Yeah.
Okay, all you'd have to do is go to our webpage and click on something, and it should launch a Real Audio window, and you should be able to hear us, no problem.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
212-279-3400, and where there are people out there right now that are listening to us on Real Audio all over the world. It's kind of scary when you think of it, but they're out there somewhere. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, how's it going tonight?
Pretty good. Where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. So far, all of our callers have been local.
That's good.
Yeah, I guess.
Is it Emmanuel?
Yes, it is. Emmanuel, not Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
Oh, how's it going?
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and talk about how I had a job.
Uh-huh.
Then I quit and they got all pissed and RM'd me.
Okay, that sounds like a topical thing to discuss. What did you do to get them all pissed at you?
I don't know. I just left.
You just left?
Yeah.
And then they got pissed at you? Or did they get pissed at you and then you left? Which happened first?
No, I left and they RM'd me for security reasons.
They RM'd you?
Yeah.
They physically removed you, or they removed your computer equipment?
No, they removed me from, the network.
Uh-huh. Because you just, walked out the door?
No, because I just left. That's why.
You mean you quit?
Yes, I quit.
And then they removed you. Why shouldn't they remove you if you quit?
Well, what's the point of removing me? I didn't do anything wrong.
But you're not an employee anymore. Maybe we're not talking about the same thing here. I mean... Look, you don't get a key to the men's washroom when you leave a place, right? They take that away from you. An account on their computer system is, I would think, something they would take away from you, too, if you leave.
But it was an ISP. It shouldn't matter.
Oh, it's an ISP. Okay.
Yeah.
Internet service provider, so you wanted your account. Now, are they refusing to give you an account even if you offered to pay for it?
No. They just told me not to be on their network anymore.
So they say even if you pay for an account, they won't let you on? Or
right.
They just want to take away your free account, which is it?
No, they just won't let me on the network, period.
They won't let you on the network, period.
No.
You have something to say about this?
You didn't do anything at all before you left.
No. Who am I talking to now?
NetWeasel.
Oh. Hey, NetWeasel.
How you doing? You didn't do anything at all? I mean, I'm highly doubting that you didn't do anything. Were you friends with these people when you worked there?
Oh, yeah. Good friends.
You're good friends with the people. Are you still friends with them now at all?
No.
So you have to have done something, because...
Well, maybe he did something in their mind.
Well, not only that, but this is... I serve in something that's going on like this right now, and especially since you've worked there and you know the ins and outs of their systems, and if you just leave, there's got to be something else, other reason, the why they're removing you from the network. Because I can understand them not giving you the free account anymore, maybe, but...
I could care less about the free account.
But if they're not letting you on at all, tell the truth here. You must have done something.
No, I didn't do anything. They're just complete morons.
Well,
they're complete morons. I think maybe you don't want to use them anyway, because they probably don't secure
their
systems.
Well, that's the way I
right
feel now, because they're being... real jerks about everything that happened. I mean...
Where do they provide service to in Jersey?
I don't think he wants to give their names because he's...
Yeah, that's kind of confidential there.
Okay, he's worried about possible ramifications.
I'm from Jersey, too. Is it northern or southern?
Oh.
Northern.
Maybe you guys can have a conversation about this later, but right now we just want to give this guy some advice as far as what he should do.
This sounds more of something, you know, more like a therapy, but you might just want to, if they're your friends, just go talk to them. I mean, otherwise, it's their network. You really can't do anything. I mean...
Really?
You have, I mean, You can't legally
are there are there
on.
Are there files of yours you need to get? Did they take things that you need?
Oh no, they did. Well, they like killed my email account. I wanted to get some email off that and whatnot.
Then you know, as Ann Landers would say, I'd say just move on and count your blessings, you know, and consider it a bad relationship that you know went sour.
Mhm.
But you know, things may seem hopeless now, but you'll wake up one day and you'll feel better.
Yeah, maybe I will.
All right.
I think everyone should buy OpenBSD CDs too.
Okay. Well, we'll
go visit them on the web at www.openbsd.org.
You know, I bet they could have figured that out even without you saying it. But thanks for calling and telling us. Good evening. You're on the air. Ooh, that was a nasty spill there, whatever that was. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
The Bronx, and I could hear you loud and clear on my small portable radio.
Okay, well, that's good, because you're right in our signal path.
Yes, I would like your comment about how, of all the millions of dollars that the MTA has spent to make the Metro Gold tamper-proof, they were able to use it to, you know, bypass the system how many times they want without paying for it.
This is for what again?
How they were able to use the Metro card to, you know, go on the subway train without paying for it.
Well, okay, you're talking about the thing. This is another thing that happened while we were away, but somebody apparently figured out a way to crack the Metro card, but it wasn't, I don't know exactly what it was, because the details were never released. The details were never released. Apparently people were folding it in a certain location, and that was confusing the system. Yeah, it's pretty funny, because I all these newspapers started calling me, and I kept telling them, look, I don't know what this was. I don't know, you know, how this happened. And I got quoted in all these papers as an expert saying I knew exactly what was going on, when I didn't. I didn't know anything about this. All I can theorize is that somebody was able to fold the card, and a certain bit of data did not get passed over. The computer said, okay, this data is not here. It probably should be, so we're just going to trust the person and assume that they're allowed to go through. And they apparently fixed it. That's what they say. No details were ever released. If anyone out there knows exactly what happened, please let us know so we can let other people know. Thing is, Chicago Transit uses the exact same system, and if there's a flaw in this system, then there's probably a flaw in that system. That Weasel, do you know something about this?
From what I gathered, is the people from the different news reports, either they scratched the card or they fold it and then they only swiped one part through. But the their fix, from what they said, is they just put more people. They just put, like, representatives, I guess, from the MTA at the machines themselves. That's what they said it would take longer. If you looked on the news reports, there were representatives sitting there.
That's a good idea. You know what they might consider doing? I hear that a certain, like, round coin type of object can be used also to transport the same amount of data as the Metro card. What you do is you take the coin, you drop it into the machine, and it opens up the turnstile. They're looking into that as a possible replacement for the Metro card, I hear.
Yeah, it's just, right now, their fix is just having more staff look at the cards.
It's in research.
Yeah.
Good evening, you're on the air. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't turn it up, but it doesn't matter because there's nobody there anyway. Good evening, you're on the air. Okay, you got to speak faster than that, people. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. Public phone, be real quick. Nice to hear you back. A couple of comments to the, and then one question. A couple of comments to the young woman who's interested in hunting. She may have also, at no additional charge, circular hunting if she likes. Then, if, let's say, as you said, she's talking on line one.
Uh-huh.
Next incoming call, she only gives people line one number, in fact, maybe, okay? Next call comes in, jumps over to the other line. Now, if she has one-way hunting and somebody does happen to call in on that second line, even on the wrong number or whatever, they're going to get it busy.
Right.
But if she asks for what they call circular hunting, where it will flip back and forth in either direction, then it doesn't matter which one. It'll always jump over to the other one. And
really? Is that the same? Is that free as well?
Yes, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. Also, however, one caveat.
Uh-huh.
You may not have circular hunting with call waiting. With call waiting, it has to go in one direction only.
Right.
The call waiting is put only on the second or last of hunt. Okay.
Well, you know, I think hunting is better than call waiting, because at least you get another phone line ringing. You can pick up and you can find out who it is.
Okay, right. Well, you have call waiting ID now, but anyway, The Point of Lissy. Another thing, what they've always told me at Beltline Residential is, once you set up hunting, they will tweak it in the future any way you like without any one-time service charge at all. Not $10, not $16, not $42.05, and so forth. So it can be very nice and convenient. Other thing, one question for Mr. Goldstein. Which was that company that gave you, like, a grilling about every fight you had in the sixth grade and so forth before they would let you have the mobile service?
That would be Sprint PCS.
Sprint PCS.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye-bye.
All right. I don't know if I just got them a customer or lost them a customer, but, yeah, that's who it was. If you're going to get service from them, they're going to ask you a lot of questions, and some of them you may not want to talk about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a... About a couple of months ago, my area code split, and my...
What area code would that be?
It was 201, and now it changed to 973. It's Northern New Jersey.
Okay.
My sister's cellular phone was on one side of the split, and our house phone was on another side.
Ooh, that can be rough.
Our town, actually. And when I dialed my sister's number, now it's even in a different area code. That AT&T only charges 20 cents for that call.
Uh-huh, but what does Bell Atlantic charge?
Bell Atlantic would charge 35 cents because it used to be a local call. It still charges a local call.
Wait, is this from a payphone or from a regular phone?
A payphone.
From a payphone. So now how do you route the call over AT&T on the payphone? 10288?
No, I would just dial 1201 because it's on the other side of the split.
Uh-huh.
Is there a way to dial to get past the 35 cents and just use 20 cents now by dialing using AT&T? Wouldn't the call through them?
Ned Weasel lives in New Jersey, and he has an answer for you.
There's a couple things you can do. One is on the phones themselves, you can just call the operator, tell them the buttons are broken in their dial, and a lot of times they'll just charge you the 25 or the 20 cents because for some reason it's not linked to the phones yet. Just that's right now your best bet is to first try it to the operator, tell them the buttons are broke, you can't dial, and a lot of times they'll charge you only the 20 or 25 cents. So that's the easiest thing to do if you're calling from a payphone. The other ways is...
Didn't he say the call was 20 cents, though, AT&T?
Yeah, 20 cents.
It depends. It depends if you go around. Depending on if you're dialing from a payphone, as you know, they all change to 35 cents here, too. A lot of times if you just dial right to the operator now, they still charge you the old rate or the 20 or 20. I'm not even sure how it works. Is it 20 or 20? It used to be 20 cents and sometimes 25. But if it's 35 cents, most of the time you can get it still for the 25 cents. I know that.
Okay, and another thing I had to say, I was thumbing through my dad's PC Novice magazine, and they started talking about Kevin Mitnick, and they were talking about how that those people with the Yahoo hack and how they wanted him freed, and they were just saying about him how it was federal fraud charges involving a multi-million-dollar crime wave, and they're really describing him badly.
Well, yeah, that's the standard Associated Press version of Kevin Mitnick there, but the thing is, what is it that he is being charged with doing? There's nothing even approaching millions of dollars, let alone thousands, even hundreds of dollars. What we're talking about is some free phone calls on a cellular phone and some monitoring on a system, perhaps, of people that were trying to track him down anyway. I mean, tell me, if you were a fugitive, you would not be doing the exact same thing, trying to make sure that you stayed a fugitive and weren't caught, because bad things could happen, like be put in prison for 3 years without a trial. And by the way, it will be 3 years as of February 15th, and that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
We hope to do something to mark that occasion. Not something like, take over a website and make demands. I think that's kind of dumb, and that won't really accomplish much.
Yeah.
Hopefully something constructive, and I urge you to visit the 2600 website, because we have updates there, and we're taking all kinds of suggestions as far as what we can do.
Okay, and one more question about the ADSL.
Yes.
Is that going to be routed through Bell switches? Because if they do that, like they did the ISDN, when it's routed through their switches, they're going to charge you for the monthly charge. Instead, if you can get a direct line run to an ISP, then you'll only have to pay for service, really, and a small charge from Bell. But if they route it through their switches somehow and make you dial, I don't know if they can do that somehow, they're going to charge by the minute. Do you know if they're going to do something like that?
I don't think they're charging by the minute, because I know cable modems do not charge by the minute. I looked into this over the weekend, and the way cable modems are being offered, at least by Cablevision on Long Island, is a one-time charge, one-time a month charge. And you can stay on for as long or as short as you want. But what I do know is Bell Atlantic is looking for people, organizations, to join in.
Okay.
Let me see if I can actually find this. Right now it's only available in Virginia, in two sections in Virginia. But they are looking for companies. become a service provider, it says. The internet is growing, not only in users and people connecting, but data file sizes, downloadable information. Yesterday it was text, today is graphics, tomorrow who knows. The sky is the limit, not the bandwidth. Customers are demanding faster access and new applications, and where do you fit in? Well, Bell Atlantic is providing the transport, the basic high-speed connection to the residents. That is what we do best. Here is where you fit in: content, internet access, and services. That is what you do best. Customers need a place to go on the internet to get their email, set up home pages, chat with a friend, check local area information, or just surf around. And with the speed of ADSL, the potential is tremendous, blah, blah, blah. Bell Atlantic's in the process of looking for partners for the internet protocol connectivity. Bell Atlantic has the access and transport. We need you to provide the services and content. You have grown the internet. Isn't that nice? Your network and content are key parts of the puzzle. We need your piece to make the picture complete. Help us make the customer's internet experience a rewarding, educational, and entertaining one by partnering with Bell Atlantic Consumer Data Services in the offering of ADSL. You, as a service provider, content developer, or media company, can offer more services and add greater value to your customers. So I'm not sure if that's what you're interested in doing.
Yeah.
Well, if you want more information, you got to speak to this guy, Christopher Callender. Not like the thing on the wall. It's spelled C-A-L-L-E-N-D-E-R.
Okay.
And he's with Internet Services of Bell Atlantic. Number is 703-974-7956. So that's a good opportunity for people to get involved in this. But it does sound like they are, you know, transporting the call. They are providing that, and they want someone else to deal with the Internet part, which I think is fine, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want them dealing with the Internet part.
Yeah. Well, just one more thing. I want to say hello to Acid Base. Yeah, it's really me on here. All right, that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, I'm glad you managed to slip that in. Good evening. You're on the air. This person is far away. This person is very far away. I can tell by the delay. I don't know if he's realized that he's on the air yet. Do you realize you're on the air?
Yes.
Yes. Where are you calling from? You're far away, aren't you?
Calling from St. Louis.
St. Louis. I could tell. I could tell. So, what's on your mind?
Well, actually, what's on my mind right now is I called in because he requested someone call in about the person who wrote the article and
That he would be me.
Oh, okay.
You're on the air right now, and you're speaking to that he.
Okay, sorry.
As well as everybody else listening. No problem.
PCS phone.
Yes. What about PCS phones?
Oh, well, I'm on a PCS phone right now.
Oh, you are? What service do you use?
Pardon?
What service do you use?
Oh, I use Sprint.
So you're using Sprint PCS right now?
Sure.
Okay.
And I was calling in because you asked about the person who was expelled from school. I think aside from the course language in the article, there was no reason he should have been expelled from school in the first place.
Absolutely not. Did you look at the article?
Yes, I did get to take a look at the article a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so what's in the article? What basically does it tell you to do or not do, or what kind of tone does it take? Not that that really matters, I don't think.
Well, it doesn't really take too much of a, you know, nothing I haven't seen before, of course. But, you know, it just basically says, you know, if you want to get into our school's networks, you can do this and this and this, and you can use these kind of passwords. And it gives some pretty graphic detail on how to get into that particular school's network. I don't think it offers, since it was a couple of weeks ago, I don't think it offers too much in the way of hacking overall, just basically how to get into the school's networks, and it does outline, you know, how to piss off the people over there at the school in particular.
You're saying it doesn't target that one particular place?
It does target the particular school, but it doesn't target hacking overall. Doesn't target.
How does it target that one particular place?
Well, I don't really recall as much about the article for that particular school.
Does it give out passwords?
No, I don't believe that it gave out any passwords.
Okay.
I believe it just said, you know, you can get in. It talked about the menuing system that the school used and how to bypass the menus and then get into the like the home drives and the resource drives and all that kind of thing.
This is what I don't understand. When I went to school, and that wasn't that long ago, but when I went to school, you could blow something up and cause great amounts of damage, even casualties. And you'd get in trouble. Yes, you would get in trouble. But to be expelled, I mean, you'd have to be expelled because, you know, you committed murder or something like that. And you had to be expelled because you had to go serve your time someplace. That really was the only reason that you would ever be expelled. And this is a kid writes something on the net, you know, or writes something rather in a newspaper about the net. I mean, I think they're just reacting in a totally crazy way, and there should be all kinds of attention drawn to this. I mean, you're talking about kicking somebody out of school. What's he supposed to do? You know?
Right. I think he was basically, you know, he was expressing to the people, you know, so, you know, he was telling them how to get in, and that, you know, that in itself was just information, you know. It's information that the individuals could have used had they wanted to, and that was on their shoulders. But they offered the information, you know, in order for people to know, you know. And I don't see a point why he should have been expelled for it. Uh-huh. And I guess that's about all I wanted to say.
I think that Weasel has a question for you. Go
well, there's one other case about being expelled from school. It's right around here in Mahwah, New Jersey. There was a student who put up, I guess you can call it, almost a hate page against one of his teachers, and he was going to be expelled or kicked out of his high school. But the school board actually voted in favor of free speech and said since it was done outside of school, they can't touch him at all. And if the teacher himself wants to take him to court or whatever, that's fine. But the school cannot do anything.
That seems a lot more logical. In fact, we get letters like this all the time.
That was just on the news today.
People get. You know, in trouble for doing things that don't even involve school property. You know, putting up a web page that criticizes somebody, or even that does something illegal, it's still not using school equipment, so therefore, is it really a school matter? You know, should they even take an interest in something that happens off school grounds? You know?
Now, in this case,
it was a newspaper. It was an unofficial newspaper, meaning probably an underground newspaper, a second paper that wasn't funded by the school. So in that case, it's not really school property. It's something independent that gets distributed at the school.
Lots of people get upset for these things, whether it has to do with the school or outside or hate. It really comes down to free speech and the students' rights.
Right.
A real quick funny story. Most of the people on the net. This is a little bit funny. Remember that big thing a couple years back called Ate My Balls? People took all these pictures, people's pictures, and made these Ate My Balls. For some unknown reason, I said, okay, there's nothing out there about Millard Fillmore. So I made this Millard Fillmore Ate My Balls page. His people in his family that were direct descendants of Millard Fillmore got in contact with me and said they were going to, like, press charges and stuff like that. It was really, really hilariously fun. They were going to, like, say that I was, defaming
his name.
Millard Fillmore. And it was the funniest thing ever. Just the fact that they actually got in contact with me was...
What made you pick him anyway?
I figured there's nothing about Millard Fillmore on the net, and, you know, so I said, why not?
Oh, there certainly is now. Okay, if you do a Yahoo search, I'm sure you'll find all kinds of interesting references now. Any other questions, caller?
Well, another thing is I did get some additional information on the MetroCard, and it came across on my unofficial Beyond Hope list.
You're in St. Louis.
Yes.
You're going to tell us about the MetroCard, huh? Okay.
Yeah, we've got lots of people on the unofficial Beyond Hope list, the one that kind of continued after the original died off. And,
right.
And we got a couple people on there that are from New York. And
Do you want to tell people how to join that who may have lost touch? Or
sure. You can write to mdamon, M-D-A-E-M-O-N, at wearehope.com. That's wearehope.com, and just put in the body of your list subscribe space hope list hopelist, and we're all just on there, and we talk about the conference once in a while. Basically, it's just to keep us all together and keep us in touch until the next conference comes around or whatever, and we have a good time on there a lot and share funny stories and things like that, and it's keeping us all together. So it's
okay. Now quickly about the MetroCard.
Oh, okay. Apparently, from what I heard on the list, the way the person defeated it or whatever was to simply just pull the card directly in half. And the piece of data that was missing from the mag strip by bending it a couple times was what defeated the MetroCard. But
well, what I would do, since you're in St. Louis, is run up to Chicago and fold one of their cards in half and see if it works there, because they use the same system. You know, if they fixed it here, maybe they didn't fix it here. Maybe they'll, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of people right now running out of their houses with folded Metro cards to see if this will work. I was told, though, that it only worked on cards with no value, which I don't know if that's entirely true. You see, when you depend on the media to give you the facts, you know that they're going to get some very basic facts wrong. And unfortunately, we didn't have any other source telling us what this was. We got all our information from the media. So
yeah, mine was over the net. Someone gave us a brief technical of what they had found out about it, and that was basically it. They said simply fold the card in half, and that was all that it was that took to defeat it. And apparently, they were going to have it fixed within 2 days, is what I heard on the list. So
okay, listen, sir, we're out of time. Or almost out of time. I want to take one more phone call.
All okay, right.
Thanks for calling. Good luck out in St. Louis. See if anybody else from around the country or around the world is calling. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, Manuel. It's good to hear your guys' voice, finally.
Thank you.
I do have a question, however. Some time ago, about a couple of months ago, a month or two, there were the Bell Atlantic big truck cars going into residential areas in Queens and pretending they're doing something to the phone cables.
Uh-huh.
And when we asked them, a lot of them, they were hostile. They didn't want to tell us. But one guy told us that, look, you guys, if you don't have a computer, you don't have to worry about it. We thought they're bugging something because there was nothing wrong with the phones, and I don't know what they were doing. It took them like a month. I mean, they were into this residential middle-class areas.
Well, my theory, and I have to give a very quick theory, is that these were just crabby technicians that were installing fiber optic lines, which is, you know, definitely beneficial for people using computers and things like that, and they just don't want to answer people's questions because they don't ever deal with human beings.
But you think it has something to do with bugging?
I don't think so, no. I mean, I don't think that Bell Atlantic goes out systematically planting bugging devices on their equipment. That tends to be done, you know, with stealth by people that, you know, don't label their trucks.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure. And that's going to do it for us tonight. We'll be back again next week with another exciting edition of Off the Hook. Until then, it's Emmanuel Goldstein on WBAI saying good night.
Medgivers College Student Government and the People of the Sun Collective present the 6th annual Tribute to the Ancestors of the Middle Passage fundraiser on Saturday, February 28th from 6 until 11 p.m. at the Medgivers College Auditorium located at 1650 Bedford Avenue in Brooklyn, featuring among others Wasin Roots Reggae Band, Brother Mike and K.O., Drums and Poets, and the African Marketplace. For more information, please call Tony Akeem at 718-270-5165. That is 718-270-5165.